Grace, mercy, and peace are all yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today in our gospel lesson, we see Jesus be teaching the teachers of Israel, the most distinguished and honored men of all of Israel. And if you read the Gospel of Luke, we see this for the first time in the early chapters when Jesus was teaching the teachers when he was just 12. Remember that story? He stayed back in Jerusalem during the time of the Passover. His parents had to go looking for him eventually. They find him in the temple teaching the teachers. And back then, Jesus was teaching with so much wisdom for a 12-year-old that the teachers were amazed and amused at this 12-year-old boy, Jesus. Today we find Jesus again teaching the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. This time it's some 20 years later. This time Jesus is not teaching in the temple. He's teaching in the home of one of the rulers of the teachers. One of the rulers of the Pharisees. One of the most honored and revered teachers of all of Israel. Oh, he's on his way to the temple in Jerusalem. On his way to celebrate one last Passover. On his way to the temple to cleanse it of some hypocrisy. But before he finishes the work he came to do, the ultimate work he came to do, he gets invited to this ruler's house. And he decides he needs to cleanse this house, not God's house, but the ruler's house, of some local hypocrisies. He's on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to the cross, to teach the greatest wisdom of all, but on the way, he stops. Because he's invited. Invited to a ruler of the Pharisees' house. The Pharisees were watching him carefully, watching what he's going to teach, the Bible says. Oh, and just in case you didn't know, it was the Sabbath day of all days. So Jesus, reclining at the table of one of the most honored and revered teachers of all Israel, began to teach. Jesus began to teach the teachers. First of all, scene one, he teaches about the true purpose of the Sabbath. Is it lawful, Jesus asked, to heal on the Sabbath? Jesus asked the Pharisees, the experts, the teachers, and there's no answer. They're mute. That's odd. If these are the experts of the law of Moses, surely they have an answer. It's their turf, it's their house. If anybody else asked, of course they would answer the question. They had an answer, but they were unable to speak. Jesus speaks and they become mute. So Jesus answers the question for them. He calls a man who's in the home, perhaps a servant or an outcast cousin. Who knows? We don't know. He calls a man who is suffering from a disease called dropsy. And Jesus shows these teachers why so many people call him teacher. He heals the man and sends him home in front of their eyes. And the teachers remain speechless. And just in case they're thinking, this Jesus just broke the Sabbath day. It commands, thou shalt not do any work. And he healed this man. Just in case they're thinking that, Jesus reminds them, if you had a son, or even an ox in danger on the Sabbath, which one of you would not help? Silence. More silence. So Jesus continues, he be teaching the teachers. Scene number two, lesson number two, about true honor and true dignity. Jesus instructs the most honored, the most dignified, these teachers, as to where to sit when they are invited to a banquet. And Jesus teaches by using the Bible. He quotes Proverbs, the words of Solomon, the very wise son of David, king of Israel. He quotes Solomon to teach these most honored and revered and dignified teachers of Israel to choose the least seats of honor or dignity when they're invited to somebody's home or especially a big banquet. Choose the seat of least honor. And the reason Jesus teaches this lesson, of all the lessons he could have taught, It's because he noticed how they chose their seats for this meal. Oh, they didn't choose the least seat of honor or the humble seats. They all sort of rushed and shuffled and pushed their way to the best seats. Silence. Complete silence from these teachers. When are they going to talk? So Jesus continues. Jesus be teaching the teachers. Next lesson, about who they should invite to their meals and feasts and banquets. Because Jesus not only noticed how these most honored and dignified teachers chose their seats at this meal, he noticed that only they were invited, except for him. The only people invited to this meal were the most honored, the most dignified teachers. If Jesus hadn't insulted the host by this point, his next words would have sent the host into a fit of rage. Next time you throw a banquet, Jesus tells the host, don't invite your friends. Don't invite the most honored, the most dignified you know. Don't invite these guys. If you do, they might repay you and invite you back to their son's bar mitzvah, to their daughter's wedding. At this point, you can just imagine the host thinking, yeah, Jesus, well, what's wrong with that? Jesus continues, instead, invite the poor, the lame, the crippled. You can almost hear him saying, the guy with dropsy who was in your house, give him a seat at the table. You know all the people who you wouldn't consider inviting. The most undignified people, the most dishonored people, invite them to your next feast, your next banquet. Silence. And now a really awkward silence. You know, the kind of really awkward silence that happens at the Christmas table or the Thanksgiving table when the young boy of the family overheard a conversation he shouldn't have overheard and then blurts it out in front of the whole table. And everybody sort of just stops eating. And then you sort of have to do a distraction. And that's exactly what happens. To break the awkward silence, one of the teachers just can't take this awkwardness anymore. He just has to speak. And so he does. Well, blessed is everyone who will eat bread one day in the kingdom of God, right, Jesus? And at this point, you can just imagine the host and his closest friends, the ones who shuffled the sit closest to him, turn and look at the guy and just want to say, did you have to open your mouth to this guy? You know he's going to answer. Can you just shut your mouth, please? And you can imagine Jesus sort of sitting there quietly and smiling. And yes, he needs to respond to this. Jesus continues. Jesus be teaching the teachers. Lesson 4, the final lesson, about who really desires to come and eat bread in the banquet at the kingdom of God. He tells them this parable, this unbelievable parable of wedding banquet. A man is going to have this big wedding feast for his son's wedding. And in those days, you sent out the invitations and people accepted them. And then once the feast was ready, then you went and told the people the feast was ready. So, these people had already accepted the invitation. They're his close friends. He sends the servants out to their homes and say, hey, the fattened calf is slaughtered. The feast is prepared. Come on over. We're having the meal. But surprisingly, one by one is too busy. Oh, I got to look at a field. Oh, I've got married, so I can't come. One by one, they have an excuse, and they all refuse to come to the prepared wedding banquets. So the enraged man sends his servants back out into the streets, into the alleys, and says to them, invite everyone you see, the poor, the lame, the crippled, invite everyone you see. And so they start inviting everybody, and there's still room. He says, go out and find more people. I won't start until it's filled. My wedding banquet will be filled. Jesus be teaching with this parable. You have been invited, is his point, to the Pharisees and the teachers. But you're so enamored with yourselves and your greatness and your own wedding banquets, your own festivals, which isn't that great at all, at least not in my kingdom, that you've missed the banquet. The banquet in the kingdom of God. Remember the guy who said, everybody will be blessed when they sit down and eat bread in the kingdom of God? Yeah, you missed it. Today we see Jesus be teaching the teachers of all people. He's not teaching the disciples. He's not teaching the fishermen. He's not teaching the sinners and the tax collectors. Oh, he is teaching the sinners. But he's teaching the teachers who don't think they need to be taught. This 12-year-old boy who amazed and amused the teachers so long ago, he's not amazing nor amusing them today. This 12-year-old boy has become a man. The son of a carpenter has become the Savior with quite a following. And we know the rest of the story. We know that he does more than just speak words of wisdom. He goes on to show that he's more than the son of the carpenter. He is the very Son of God, the very wisdom of God sent to earth to not just teach wisdom, but to show wisdom in the most excellent and audacious and confounding way. As St. Paul, one of the great Pharisees, who could have been at this table, or a cousin of one of them at least, who later would repent when the resurrected Christ would stand before him and become the greatest missionary in the history of the world. This St. Paul would write, Greeks seek wisdom, Jews seek signs. But we preach Christ crucified, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, today we see Jesus teaching the teachers. Because in essence, he's also teaching you and me. Let me break it down for you. What he just might be teaching you and me today, scene by scene. God has given us the Sabbath. Sabbath rest. Even on this Labor Day of rest, God gives us Sabbath rest. The ability to gather and hear his words. Not something for you to do for him. Not another rule to add to your list of rules to do. Not another burden to add to your burdens to carry. But he gives you the Sabbath rest for him to do for you. And what does he do for you? He gives you on this Sabbath rest, as you gather to hear his word, he gives you rest from the world and healing. Healing like the man with dropsy, you get healing for your sins and your eventual death. And this is your invitation. Your invitation into the kingdom of God, where you get to sit and eat for eternity. And blessed will be everybody who does. And you need not worry about impressing your God, this God, in order to get an invitation. Don't worry about climbing any ladders or browning somebody's nose, whatever that means. You've been invited to the great banquet, the banquet in the kingdom of God. It begins today. It began at your baptism. You have an invitation. You have a seat. Take the seat that's open. Take the seat that nobody out in the kingdom of the world would want. Take what looks like the least of seats, and you will be surprised. You will be surprised to find it is the best seat in the kingdom of God. Not because you deserve it, not because you have the right strategy of picking seats. Oh, I'm going to pick this one because then I'll get moved up to that one. It's not about that at all. Not because you look to your own work, your own wisdom, your own anything, but because you look to the one who's done all the work for you and his deeds for you. And once you sit in the seat, and once you've received the seat, and you sit down, you actually begin to realize, yeah, I didn't deserve this seat. It's too good for me. And you begin to glory in how wonderful seat it is. You begin to glory in the rest and the joy and the comfort no matter what's going on in life. And you begin to want that seat for everybody, especially those like you who thought you never could get a seat like this. A seat at this banquet, let alone the best seat in the banquet. And so you just begin to look throughout your life for the most desperate, the most hurting, the most outcasted people, the most in need people, and you realize that life is simply about looking for these people and inviting them to the banquet. In the name of the one who took the worst seat for us and for all people, the seats of the cross. You see, the teaching of the gospel of Sunday is to those who think they deserve a good seat, the best seat, or just any seat in the kingdom, his kingdom, they miss his kingdom. But to you who've come here on this day of Sabbath rest, to receive Sabbath rest, to you who look up to God, who freely gives the seats of his kingdom to whom he chooses, not because they deserve it, but simply because he's a loving God. To us who know we don't deserve not even just the invitation, let alone a look from God, come, sit. The banquet is prepared. With the banquet comes rest. With rest comes healing. With healing comes peace and comfort and joy. And it's all yours. In the name of Jesus. Amen.